So this is a by request topic, the topic of women in Kriya Satora. In order to get anywhere in this topic, though, you have to know what Kriya Satora is. We're not going to give a shiur defining what women are, that we're just going to assume we know, but we have to give a shiur defining what Kriya Satora is, and frankly it's going to take us more than just today just to do that. But once you know what Kriya Satora is, by which I mean where it came from, what kind of a mitzvah it is, who is chayav in Kriya Satora, what the nature is of the brachos that are made on an aliyah, and the nature of what a bal kriya is, and so on, then it actually becomes much easier to discuss the question of anyone's eligibility to perform any of those mitzvot for themselves or on behalf of the community. Then there's a separate topic that we'll have to get to, which is the issue of kavod hatzibur. For those who are familiar with the sources, you know that that we're told that women are eligible for the seven aliyos, except due to kavod hatzibur, and we have to talk about what that is as well and what its implications are today. So this is not a one shear thing. This is, you know, a series.
You're a one-year series?
God willing, it is a one's mind series at the outside. One thing that I did want to point you to that I put right at the top of the sheets is the recent article by the Frimmers, Rabbi Aryeh Frimmer and Rabbi Dov Frimmer, that appeared in Tradition, not the most recent edition, but the one before it. It's a fantastic article. It's something like 40 to 50 pages of article and then like 50 to 100 pages of footnotes. It's crazy long, but anything that you will ever want to know about Kriya Satora is there, whether in the article or in the footnotes. You have to, of course, learn like the footnotes in order to get anything out of the article and look up the svar they refer you to. But it's a very worthwhile piece, and a lot of my information came from looking up the references that they had there. Also worth noting, they have a side note. I think it's either footnote 30 or 31, where they have a long digression into the din of Shomei HaKa'ona, and they refer to a whole series of recent articles on Shomei HaKa'ona, and Reb Baruch is in there. You have to read the footnote well in order to find him. Well, it's not. It's just like they're listing articles that you can find on the definition of Shomei HaKa'ona. So he's mentioned for an article he had done for Gush on the virtual based medrash on Shomei HaKa'ona. I have to let him know. I forgot to tell him.
Is it that article on Parshat Minhag as well, or just women in Aliyah?
So the end of the article, they have an appendix where they deal with other issues that come up in Partnership Minyanim, Halel, Shabbos, whatever. It's a small appendix at the end of the piece. Okay. So we begin with the question of what exactly we are talking about. What is Kriya Satora? Where does Kriya Satora come from? So the earliest references to a public Kriya Satora are found in your first two sources on the sheet. The first one is from Parashas Vayelech, and that's the mitzvah of Hakel. Vayitzav Moshe Osam Lemor, Mikesh Sheva Shanim, Bemoy Shnas Hashmita, V'chag HaSukkos, a year from this coming Sukkos. The Sukkos that is after Shemitah, we have a mitzvah of Hakel. In the mitzvah of Hakel, you can see the psukim there. I'm not going to read them all out. Is to gather everybody, the entire Jewish world, together to the Beis HaMikdash, and the king is going to read from the Sefer Torah. It doesn't actually say the king here. It says Tikra. Hashem says it to, you know, Moshe says to the Jews, you shall read. But the halachas, as we understand them, involve ideally having the king be the one to do the reading. He doesn't read the entire Torah. As the Gemara outlines, he reads portions of Sefer Devarim, a little bit of the rest of the Torah also, and there are different views, as I recall. But that's one source for a public Kriya Satora, but that's a very limited source, right? That's just once every 7 years you're having a public Kriya Satora. Where do we get anything more regular than that? So take a look at Beis, which is from Nehemiah. The nation gathers as one to the rachov, the plaza in front of the water gate, the gate where they bring the water to the Beis HaMikdash. Actually, I'm not going to translate Shar HaMayim, that will get me into trouble. Leave it be. And they told Ezra to bring the Sefer of the Torah of Moshe. So, Vayavi Ezra HaKohen es HaTorah lefnei HaKohol me'ish ve'ad isha. Ezra the Kohen brought the Torah in front of everybody, men and women. V'chol mevin, anybody would understand. And this is B'yom Echad LaChodesh HaShvi'i, the first day of the seventh month. In other words, on Rosh Hashanah. One of the origins of Tashlich is the Jews gathering by the Sha'ar Hamayim, by the gate of the water, on Rosh Hashanah. So some suggest that it's meant to reenact this this event here. He read out aloud from the Sefer Torah, Min Ha'or Ad Machzis Hayom. Sounds like from first light until midday. Quite a long Kriyas HaTorah. And the women and the men are there, and everybody who understands it, everybody hears the Sefer Torah, and he stands up in Pasuk Dalet, Vayamod Ezra Sofra Migdal Eitz Asher Asu LaDavar. He stood on a bima they had created for this purpose, and it lists all the people he has with him. And then in Pasuk Hey, he opens up the Sefer Torah in front of the nation. That is what? Hagbah. Right? He displays the Torah to the nation, and everybody rises in Pasuk Hey. And Ezra blesses Hashem, and look what happens here in Pasuk Vav. This will matter much later on. I don't know if we'll get to it today. But Vayivarech Ezra Hashem Elokim HaGadol, he blesses God. Vayanucha la'am amen, amen. And everybody responds amen to his bracha. B'mo'al yideihem, their hands raised. Vayigdu vayishtachavu la'ashem apayim arza. And they bow to God. The Yeshua, and it lists all these people who are there, and then Pasuk Ches, Vayikru'u b'sefer Torah Elokim mifarash v'som seichel v'yavinu b'mikra. The Gemara tackles the meaning of the latter words in this Pasuk here, the explanation of the reading, but there's a public reading of the Torah complete with a bracha. Okay. That is the other biblical source for Kriyas HaTorah, and that, I believe, is the reason why the Gemara is going to say that Ezra is the one who creates the Kriyas HaTorah as we know it. In other words, how do I know that it's Ezra who does this? Well, right here we have Ezra instituting a public Kriyas HaTorah. Take a look at source Gimel, where you'll actually find Kriyas HaTorah as we know it. It's a set of Mishnayos in Megillah. B'sheni u'b'chamishi u'b'shabbos b'mincha, Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos afternoon, Karin Shlosha, we have three olin, ein pochsin ve'mosifin aleihem, no fewer and no greater, just three, ve'mafirin b'navi, there's no haftarah, haposeach l'chosin b'tarah mevarech l'faneu l'achareha, and the person who begins and the person who ends makes the bracha before and after, by which we mean, the first aliyah makes the opening bracha, the last aliyah makes the closing bracha, right? You're familiar with this idea that originally, as Kriyas HaTorah was done, the middle people did not make brachas. It was only the opening bracha in the beginning of the first one and the closing bracha at the end of the last one.
What did they do?
Nothing. They went up, and and there was a reading. They would read, because there was no Baal Kriya in those days, as we'll talk about. And that was it. It was the opening bracha from the first one and the closing bracha from the last one. We'll talk about all of this as we go through it. Yeah, Jesse. That's Mishnah Aleph. Mishnah Beis, Barashi Chadashim, B'chol HaShamoed, Karin Arba, four aliyos for Ashkodesh and Chol HaMoed, and again, Ein Pochsin Ve'en Mosif and Aleyan, no fewer, no greater, Ve'en Machim B'navi, there's no Haftarah, and again, Apaseach HaChosin B'atarah, Mevarech Lefaneu L'acharah, the opening bracha comes from the first one, the closing bracha comes from the last one. And then, Zaklal, the next rung, here's the rule, Kol Sheyesh Bo Musaf Ve'eno Yom Tov, Korin Arba. If you have Musaf, but it's not a Yom Tov, that's four aliyah, so that refers to Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh. B'Yom Tov Chamisha, B'Yom HaKippurim Shisha, B'Shabbos Shiva, En Pochsin Mehen, no fewer, Avo Mosif and Alein, but you may add, and that's starting once you get to the latter ones, not the earlier ones. You don't add to the earlier ones. U'Maftirin B'Navi, and you have a Haftorah on these days, meaning Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, Shabbos. And again, opening bracha from the first ola, closing bracha from the last ola. That's how Kriyas HaTorah is done, and it's remained that way, other than the issue of the brachos on the aliyos. Where does this come from? So now we're going to have a little bit of confusion, because there are two different versions of how Kriyas HaTorah comes to be. If you take a look at source Dalet, the first source I bring you is from Masechta Sofrim. Masechta Sofrim is one of the older of the mini Masechtas. If you want to find Masechtas, not only Masechta Sofrim, but all the Masechtas Ketanos in the standard Vilna Shas, you will find it in the volume that has Avodah Zarah and Horios. So there they have Pirkei Avos, and then they have Avos Drabi Nasan, and then they have Smachos and Sofrim and Derech Eretz and Kala and all those mini Masechtas. Gerim, those are all found in one shot there in that volume.
So you're saying the stira is that the first one sounds like just an opening bracha, the first person, the closing bracha, the last one, and the end seems like the first one just opening and closing, and the last one just...
Oh, no, I didn't see a stira yet. I haven't seen
the very last one.
I think it's the same as in the previous ones. Was consistent language for all of them. It's that the first one makes the opening bracha and the last one makes the closing bracha.
Not that each does each.
Correct. Yeah, the language was consistent down the line. So this brisa in Masechta Sot from Perek Yud says Moshe Hikni, and then the brisa goes off in a tangent. Explaining what the word hikni means. Hikni is hisra, he warned. Moshe warns the Jewish people, they bring it from Hamakani Leishto, the classic Mishnah at the beginning of Sota, of some jumping past that translation of hisra. Hikni lahem liyisrael shihu korin batar v'shabasa subyamim tovim uberashah chadashim v'chol ha'shamoid. Moshe tells the Jews, you shall do kriyas ha'tara on Shabbos, Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, Chol ha'moed. The only thing that he has left out is Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos Mincha. When he says Shabbos here, it means Shabbos morning. Shabbos Mincha is a unique enactment, which we are told is because of the Yoshvei Kronos, people who sit on the corners, which some explain to mean people who are doing nothing Shabbos afternoon, and therefore we want them to at least learn some Torah, or alternatively, people who sit on the corner in the marketplace doing business during the week, and therefore they're going to miss Monday and Thursday, so we want to get a little laning in them in there for them on Shabbos afternoon. Those are the two explanations of why you have Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos afternoon. But that's not included here. Moshe is doing Shabbos morning, as well as Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, and Chol HaMoed, and the source is Shenamar Vayidaber Moshe as Moedei Hashem El Bnei Yisrael. Moshe declared the Moedim of Hashem to the Jewish people. So what we understand by that is Moshe sets up Kriyas HaTorah on the Moedim of Hashem, Shabbos, Yom Tov, and we're including Rosh Chodesh in the bargain. Ezra, on the other hand, what did Ezra do? Ezra tikein lahem liyisrael shiu karen batara b'sheni u'b'chamishi u'b'shabbos b'mincha. Ezra sets up Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Mincha. That's one version of things, and it's matched in the Yerushalmi. Maseches Sofrim, by the way, as I recall, if I remember correctly, is Talmud Eretz Yisrael, is Israeli in origin. So it's going to be consistent with what we see in the Yerushalmi. Moshe in source Hey, Moshe Hiskines Yisrael Shu Karn Batar Bashabasas Yom Tovim Rosh Hashanah V'Cholosh HaMoed. Right, same idea. Moshe does Shabbos Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh Chol Moed Shnema VeDibur Moshe Asma Deyashem Al Bnei Yisrael and Ezra Hiskin Yisrael Shu Karn Batar B'Sheinu B'Chamishu B'Shabbos B'Mincha. Same idea. Now let's look at the Bavli in source Vav. Should be the bottom of the first side. Asara Takanos Tikein Ezra. Ezra made 10 takanos. We're not going through all of them. We're going through specifically Shakorin b'mincha b'Shabbos, v'korin b'sheni v'chamishi. He said you should read at mincha on Shabbos and Monday and Thursday. So far, it sounds exactly like what we've said. But then it says, wait a minute, v'shiu korin b'sheni v'chamishi Ezra tikein. Ezra set up Mondays and Thursdays, really? V'hami kara habamitkina. That already was set up originally. How do I know that? Tisanya, it's a brisa. V'yachu shloshes yamim b'amidbar v'lo matz umayim. Right? Remember the story? The Jews go 3 days, they don't have water, and then they cry, and Moshe takes the wood, and he throws it into the water, makes the water sweet, and then they get attacked by Amalek. Right? That's Rafidim. So they travel 3 days, and they don't find water. Dorshe Rishumos Amru Ein Mayim El Torah. Those who analyzed that which was written, or the secrets, said, water here, when it says they didn't find water, means Torah. Shenemar hoy kol tzamei l'chu l'mayim. And other references that we have that link water and Torah. That pasuk in particular says those who are thirsty should go to the water. Sakeven shahalchu shloshes yamim below Torah nil'u. When they went 3 days without Torah, then they started to whine and they started to rebel and they got themselves into trouble. Amdu nevi'im shebeinayim, the prophets among them, and we don't know who these prophets are. Nobody hazards a guess. This is before the Razakanim, this is before Eldad Umedad, this is, you know, Moshe, Miriam, we don't know. But the prophets among them got up, v'tiknu lahem shu korin b'shabas, umafsigin be'echad b'shabas, v'korin b'sheni, umafsigin shlishi urvi, v'korin b'chamishi, umafsigin erev shabas, kedisha lo yolinu gimel yamin below Torah. The Brisa says that when they saw what happens if you go 3 days without Torah, they said, uh-oh, we better do something. And they created a public Kriyas HaTorah on Mondays and Thursdays, so you never go 3 days without Kriyas HaTorah. So what do you mean when you say Ezra created this?
Well, why 3 days?
Just because that was what happened there in the Psukim. That's what they're drawing.
Could have been Moshe and Miriam, or not necessarily?
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, it's odd, because if it was Moshe, it should have said so. Nonetheless, all the later sources that talk about this, that refer back to this, will say it's Moshe. They all word it as Moshe.
Also had authority to
take them. Yeah, it's just a very odd thing to call them Nevi'im Shebeinehem. If you mean Moshe, say Moshe. You know, that's what's very strange. I haven't seen any adequate explanation for this. It could be out there. But the Gemara says, here's the resolution, or here are two resolutions. Number one, Meikara Tiknu Chad Gavra Tlasav Suke. One possibility is that the original Takana was just you have to have a Kriyas HaTorah. So one person would get called up to the Torah, he'd read Kriyas HaSukim, and finish. That was it. That was your public Kriyas HaTorah. Inami, alternatively, Tlasa Gavri Tlasav Suke. Or maybe three people got called up to the Torah, and each one read one Pasuk for a total of three Psukim. Kineget Kohanim Levim V'Yisraelim. Why not? Every Masses, unless I'm the grub. So Kohen Levi Yisrael. Not literally they are Kohen and Levi Yisrael being called up. That's a later Takana in the Gemara, right? To bring fights about who gets the first Aliyah. So we'll give the Kohen Aliyah number one. But he says, three Olim opposite the three groups of Jews. And Asahu, along came he, meaning Ezra, and Tikein Tlasa Gavri Basar of Suki. He said, we're going to have three people read, but it'll be a total of 10 psukim. Can I get Asara Batlanim? Parallel to the 10 Batlanim. Remember the idea of the Asara Batlanim in the Gemara and Megillah, the 10 people who sit and learn, and that it provides merit for the community. Yeah? Was there a question? Yeah?
I just don't see the, how you could extrapolate like, the current understanding or Ezra's even understanding of Greater Torah from the fact that 3 days went by and they didn't learn Torah. Like,
yeah.
I understand they didn't learn Torah, but they could have learned Torah in any facet. What does it have to be, like a communal reading?
So, the easy answer would be when you set up something communal, you take care of everybody. In other words, if I say, okay, so everybody should learn privately, then will I really accomplish my goal? Some people will, and some people won't. And those who don't are going to get into trouble. So, doing something that's communal... Yeah, and especially when you're in the midbar, where you say, okay, we're all doing this, then they're all doing this. No one can leave the shtetl. Then I think that's a more efficient way to handle things. But I also think that really what this is more about is a reading of the Medrash on the psukim and saying, so this is what they did. Not so much a prescription as a description. This is the way they handled the problem. Yeah.
Also, where does the concept of the
psukim
as a minimum come?
So. Right now, all we have is that this is the way they're doing it. Later, in the Gemara, they talk about three psukim as being the minimum that's of significance, the minimum section for it to matter. Like this is now something of substance. But we're going to come back to this point a little bit later. In not too long from now.
I have a question for why 3 days? Isn't it every day?
Yes, I was wondering about this. Isn't there, don't we normally assume, you're supposed to learn all the time. But the answer, well, first of all, is said to Yahushua. So technically, that hasn't happened yet. The isn't yet going to be, that's not there yet. What sort of mitzvah of Talmud Torah could you have had at this stage when they haven't even had Har Sinai yet? And the answer is you can't. There is no Torah. I mean, there's nothing there. I don't even know when he says Moshe enacted to read Psukim. You know, they all show up the first day for Kriyas HaTorah and Moshe says, hang out a little bit. We can get to Har Sinai and they'll have something to read to you. You know, we do say there's a machlokas in the Gemara about whether the Torah is given in one block at the end, or whether it's Megillah, Megillah, Nisnes, and as things happen, they're written down in scrolls, which the people get. So every time it says, Vayidaber Hashem v'shalemor, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, Moshe is presenting them with more material. This understanding, I think, has to assume that Moshe is giving them something, or else I don't know what they're reading. The whole thing is very odd. I mean, there are numerous reasons to question and challenge the idea bichlal, but working within this Misora of how we got Kriyas HaTorah, that's where this is how it comes into existence. So I have a problem though, in that in Eretz Yisrael they're telling me that the origin of this is in Eretz Yisrael they're telling me that the origin of this is really with Ezra, right? Ezra is the one of the Sheni Chamishi Shabbos Mincha. in the Bavli, they're telling me, no, Moshe did it. Ezra just altered it. Ezra just changed it. So which is it? Which one is it supposed to be? So there are a few different ways that are suggested to resolve this machlokas. The Meiri simply says, yeah, it's a machlokas. In Sur Zion, I brought you an excerpt from his passage there in Megillah Chav Aleph. The Meiri says, "Ein luchos Talmud Shalom ibn Braisa shamaseches Sofrim." Over there, he doesn't mention the Yerushalmi, but he puts it as it's Bava Kama against Sofrim. Bava Kama wins.
The Gemara itself is addressing the machlokas, no?
How? The Gemara is not, though, because the Gemara
says, "Didn't Ezra do this? Didn't it say this?"
Right, but you're assuming, in other words, that the Yerushalmi would be okay with the resolution that's found in Bava Kama, it just didn't mention it?
I guess so.
So we would have to then ask, why is the Yerushalmi not aware of the problem? You know, the Yerushalmi didn't even quote Vayelchu Shloshes Yamim. It's earlier, but it's not earlier than a Braisa. Unless the answer is they didn't have access to the Braisa, which puts me in the Meiri's position of saying, okay, so their source is against our source, and our source wins.
The end of the Gemara, though, is that same one. The first Ezra motioned it this, and Ezra made it the way we have it, yeah?
Yes. That's the way it's leaving it, yeah.
No, I don't see it like a Mahmoud. I just see that you corrected it. There's no, disagreeing. Is it disagreeing on the
Nikara
of the Mitzvah?
It's not disagreeing on it. Well, in the end, the conclusion as presented in the Bavli is going to be that Ezra is the one who is creating either the multiple aliyah system or just the number of psukim. If Ezra is creating the multiple aliyah system, that has major significance. Because, as we're going to see, saying that Moshe did it makes it a deoraisa. Saying that Ezra did it makes it a derabanan. Divrei Kabbalah, which we equate with a derabanan. So that's going to matter a great deal. It's not as though we went through a discussion in order to end up where we started from. We actually end up in a different place, according to Bava Kama. And depending on which answer you give in Bava Kama, either multiple aliyos is a derabanan or multiple aliyos is a deraisa. So that's going to matter.
Why is the museum more powerful than Sophie?
So I think because he takes the idea that something is in Bavli as being stronger than Sofrim automatically. Well, he doesn't know. He doesn't mention the Yerushalmi there. He just mentions Sofrim. And he says, Sofrim has to bow to the Bavli. That's the way he looks at it. Not everybody agrees that this is the way to do it. The Magen Avraham says, if you take a look at source Ches, this is in the beginning of Orach Chaim Kuf Lamed Hey. The Magen Avraham has a little bit of an introduction on Kriyas HaTorah, and he writes, "V'hada kasav harif she'ezra tikein bebeiz v'hei," that when the Rif says that Ezra was the one who created Monday Thursday laning, "Hainu minyan hakruim kedi'isa b'gemara." He says that agrees with our Bavli, that Ezra is setting up that there should be multiple readers. The Inkein Moshe Tikein Minyan Akruim B'Shabbos V'Yom Tov Rosh Chodesh B'Chol HaMoed. V'Chei Matzasi B'Rambam, and he gives you the reference. So he says that essentially the Rif follows the view that appears in the Bavli, and more or less, I suppose you could argue, he's harmonizing the Bavli and the Yerushalmi and saying in the end everybody's going to be okay with this. That everybody's going to be okay with the Bavli version, the way that you wanted to suggest. The Birkei Yosef quotes the Tosos HaRash, who offers a practical explanation. If you take a look at source tests, he says, what Ezra did was necessary. The Achar Zman Rav, he writes, Bo liyadi tosfei Arash Megillah Ksav Yashan. He says, after a long time, I had access to a manuscript of the Tosfos Arash. V'ra'isi lo, Shehevi Yerushalmi Anizkar Deresh Megillah. And he brought the Yerushalmi, which, according to Yerushalmi, Moshe created these aliyos. The Kasav is Elishono, and the Tosfos HaRash wrote, Makshim al Yerushalmi, Demai Parich, Valo Ezra Tikein, Sheyu Koran Bebez Vehei, Valo Moshe Rabbeinu Tikein Lahem, Kidi Isa Perek Beruba. He asks the question, Moshe did it, according to what we saw in Bava Kama. V'yesh lo marshalo hayu choshin kol kach lavo la'ayaros bishvil pasuk chad lechad gavra. V'ikar takana Tikein Ezra. He says, you know what? Ezra gets the credit. Birkei Yosef says, Ezra gets the credit because the Jews didn't follow Moshe's takana. Moshe set up this idea, as we saw, suggested in the conclusion of the Bavli, of one of either one Ola is doing three Psukim, or as he quotes it here, three Olim, each one doing one Pasuk. And the people who didn't live in the major cities said, come on, I'm going to schlep into the city for that. Right? For this I should come in, so I can hear one person get up and read one Pasuk, one person read one Pasuk, I can do that at home. I don't need to go into the city to do that. And so no one is following Moshe's Takana, they're having a hard time getting a minyan. At which point, Ezra says, okay, I am adding to the way Kriyas HaTorah is done. It's a practical move that Ezra does, as explained by this Tosfos HaRosh. The Halacha Brura, I didn't bring it on your sheets, but brings others who agree with this idea.
Why would people follow Ezra and not Moshe?
Because what Moshe did wasn't practical. What Moshe did was three Olam, each one doing one Pasuk. So as you said, we're going to have more Pesukim. We're going to have 10 Pesukim. Now, frankly, I'm not sure why 10 Pesukim would make that much of a difference for people where one Pasuk didn't. The only thought I can have is that when you don't have written texts, it means more to you. In other words, for us, it's very easy for us to read 10 Pesukim. But if you don't have a Sefer Torah, and you're living in the Kfar where you don't have a Sefer Torah, then 10 Pesukim is already worth making the schlep into the city. I'm going to tie my trip in to hear it. Whereas one Pasuk, not so much. That's the way he's looking at it. The last thought on this, in terms of the machlokas between the two, is the Meiri has a separate suggestion. In the Meiri is the Meiri to Megillah Beis Amud Aleph. Oh, there I did bring it. Sorry, Yud. He says, "V'yesh mafarshim l'shita zu shelishmo adivrei Torah yumiskansin shayukorin ba'yaros sheni v'chamishim mitakanas Ezra." He brings you everything that we just saw, right? He says, how can you tell me that it was Ezra when this is already going back to Rephidim in the Midbar? However, either Ezra created three aliyahs for 10 psukim, and everything is now identified with him because he made the final form, or Shema Nishtakach V'Chazarhu and V'Sidra or V'Yisda, depending on your edition, maybe the answer is people forgot it and Ezra reestablished it. There's an awful long time between Moshe and Ezra. And Ezra comes in after the years of Galus Bavel, when Jews are doing all sorts of things they're not supposed to be doing. They're forgetting their Hebrew. They're marrying the Babylonian women. It's not so hard to think that they also stopped going to shul Monday and Thursday morning. Just on a guess. And so Ezra reinstitutes Kriyas HaTorah as part of the reforms that he creates at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. And at this point, it becomes known as Ezra's Takana. Because it's not Moshe's Takana anymore. Moshe's Takana died. Ezra is the one who created Kriyas HaTorah for all intents and purposes. That's the answer that the Meiri brings here. It's hard to use the word chiyuv. In other words, when Moshe enacts it, if we're going to say it has the weight of a de'oraisa, then the chiyuv is with Moshe, but no one's doing it. So that when we think about who created it, we're going to give credit to Ezra, even though, yes, it's a de'oraisa going back to Moshe. That would be the idea. That's all a side note to try to justify here and explain this Bavli versus Yerushalmi. But ultimately, this is the origin of our Kriyas HaTorah. However, this doesn't explain where we got the Shabbos Kriya with seven Olim. Whose idea was to have seven? All we said is that Moshe created Kriyas HaTorah for Shabbos. Who says that that's where seven Aliyos come from? So the answer seems to be that it's a machlokes. Tosfos believes that it's actually Ezra. Rashi believes that the seven aliyos come from Moshe. Take a look at Source Yud Aleph, please. Source Yud Aleph is talking about the mitzvah of Kriyashma and reading Kriyashma in any language. And it says there that you're supposed to read Kriyashma in Hebrew. Kriyashma Disanya, the Brisa says, Kriyashma Kichsava Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says you read Shema the way that it is written, meaning in the original Hebrew. You can read Shema in any language. My time of the Rebbe, why does Rebbe say that it has to be in Hebrew? Because Amar Kra Vihayu, because the Torah says, Vihayu Hadivrei Ma'ela, these words shall be. We understand the word v'hayu to mean they shall be as they are, meaning as they are in the Torah. That's Rabbi's position. Rabbanan Maitamayu. What's the reason for the Rabbanan saying you can read Shema in any language? Amar Kra Shema. Because the Pasuk says Shema. Listen. B'chol Lashon Shata Shomea. In any language that you'll hear. Rebbe Nami Aksiv Shema. Well, Rebbe, don't you also believe in the word Shema? That's a different lesson. That teaches me that you have to do it out loud. The Rabbanim will disagree because they don't believe that that's true. They say you fulfill Shema even if it's not audible. Well, what do the Rabbanim do with the word Vahayu that Rebbe used? They teach that Vahayu, the words should be as they are, means don't read Shema out of order. That you have to read the psukim in the order that they are. V'Rebbe Shelo Yikra L'Mafreya Manali, and how does Rebbe know that? Midvarim Hadvarim, because it says V'Hayu Hadvarim Ha'ele. That's an added lesson. Not only should it be in Hebrew, but it should be in this order. V'Rabbanan Hadvarim Hadvarim L'Mashmalun. The Rabbanan don't do a lot of the limud of Dvarim Hadvarim. So we go back and forth and back and forth this ping pong game. But the important piece for our discussion is that Rebbe says Shema has to be the way that it is written, meaning in Hebrew, because of the word V'Hayu. The Gemara then says, Lema Kasava Rebbe Kol HaTorah Kula V'Chol Lashon Emra. Well, then Rebbe must believe that the rest of the Torah is read in any language. The Isak Gedai V'Chol Lashon HaKodesh Nemra, because if the whole Torah has to be read in the original, Lamali L'Mirta V'Hayu. Why would I need the word V'Hayu just for Shema? You follow? That's the key line in this Gemara right here. The Gemara says, Rebbe, in order to say that V'Hayu teaches me Shema has to be Hebrew, Rebbe must believe that the entire rest of the Torah may be read in any language. You follow? So on that, see Rashi. Rashi in Sura Yud Beis says that when he says the rest of the Torah may be read, what does that mean? Likrosa b'chol lashon, to read it in any language. What has Rashi added? The wording in the Gemara was b'chol lashon emra. It said in any language. What has Rashi added by saying that this means to read it in any language? What else would I have thought? You follow the problem? Rashi hasn't added anything. Unless you understand that what Rashi is doing is he's telling me not reading it in any language means I'm sitting here with the Sefer Torah myself. It means the public Kriyas HaTorah.
Is that your bracket?
That's my bracket, correct. The Likrosa means Kriyas HaTorah. In other words, Rashi understands, and this is what Tosfos understands Rashi to mean. I didn't invent it, I just added the words in brackets. But what Rashi's saying here is that Kriyas HaTorah is what he's talking about, and what the Gemara is talking about. And now, Hagat, Smucha, think it through, what we're really saying is that Kriyas HaTorah is a De'oraisa. Because you're telling me that I needed the word V'Hayu to tell me that whereas Kriyas HaTorah is in any language, Shema is not. So that means that Kriyas HaTorah must be a De'oraisa, because otherwise what is V'Hayu teaching me? If Kriyas HaTorah was a De'rabbanan, the Hayu couldn't come to take away from it. You follow?
Deraisa to read it.
Deraisa
to read
it. Deraisa to do Kriyas HaTorah. What we're talking about is Kriyas HaTorah.
It sounds like it would just be Deraisa to read it in Hebrew when you read it.
But it's not. What does that mean? If there's no institution of Kriyas HaTorah, how could a pasuk come to tell me what the rules are? You follow? The fact that you need a pasuk to say Shema isn't like Kriyas HaTorah, Shema can be in any language, tells me that Kriyas HaTorah is a De'oraisa. Because otherwise, what is this pasuk coming to teach me? There's no such thing as Kriyas HaTorah. This is straightforward. Rashi is indicating that he believes that Kriyas HaTorah fundamentally is a De'oraisa. Tosfos disagrees in Sois Yud Gimel. Explicitly. He says, Vikasha, this is difficult. Shere Kriyas HaTorah in a minatara elamid de Rabbanan. He says, what are you talking about? Kriyas HaTorah is a de Rabbanan. It's not a del Raisa. Levad mi parsha zachor da mi del Raisa. Except parsha zachor. That's a del Raisa. Venira de hachi perusha. He says, this is the way to read the Gemara. Kol Kriyas HaTorah. Anytime the Torah says that you should read things, Kigon, mitzvah chalitza, right? Where there's a script that the Yavama says to the guy, right? The uparshas egla arufa, where they have to say yadenu lo shachu as adam hazeh. Vidui maiser ubikurim, right? Arami oveda vi and all that. Anytime there is a ritual that requires that you recite psukim, that is what should be in Hebrew. But not Kriyas HaTorah. Tosas takes the view that Kriyas HaTorah is Dira Banan. Tosus in Brachos, Yigimel Amad Aleph, asked the question slightly differently. He has the same point, but I brought it in Tzoris Yedalid because he says explicitly that it is Ezra. So the view of Tosvos is indeed that it is Ezra. The Meiri in Megillah in Tzoris Tesvav says it as well, that this is indeed a Takana of Ezra. That's the way that we look at it. Dropping my flies. That's their position. The Aruch HaShulchan, interestingly,
that's how Tosus thinks it can be in any language, is when they're Rabbanan?
No. Not, the two things are not connected. I mean, once you say that it's Rabbanan, then it makes sense to say it can be in any language.
But you said before that when you had in the brackets, Bumar Kriyasa Torah, that's based on Tosus, but not the Tosus.
No, that's based on, that's Rashi as understood by Tosus.
So which Tosus? The ones here or the one?
No, the ones right here. The ones right here. Both of them. I mean, in Yud Gimel, I didn't quote you his statement about Rashi, I just quoted you his question, but in Yud Gimel, in Yud Dalet, I quoted the whole thing. Blashon HaKodesh Namra, Pirish Rashi, Pershein de Megillah, Likros Batora, meaning Kriyas HaTorah. And he says, that can't be, below Nehira. Da Ezra Tikin Kriyas HaTorah, because Ezra was the one who created Kriyas HaTorah. So you see? Tosis is explicitly that he believes that Rashi thinks that this is Kriyas HaTorah. Otherwise, Tosis' question doesn't make any sense.
What is that based on Ezra? Why is the language to be based on? How does Ezra
mean this happening? No. Again, what he's saying is, in the Gemara they said, the word V'hayu tells me that Shema is has to be Hebrew. As opposed to Torah.
Right.
Rashi said, as opposed to Torah means Kriyas HaTorah.
Right.
Therefore, Rashi must think that Kriyas HaTorah is a Deoraisa. Tosfos comes along to say that's not what the Gemara is talking about.
Why does Rashi think it's a Deoraisa?
Because how could the Torah be responding to what you do for Kriyas HaTorah if Kriyas HaTorah is a Derabana?
Okay.
Watch.
Mark.
Not on there, on here, right? You can't do it on here?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm told, because you have a pasuk that says Behayu, right? Because you have a pasuk that says Behayu, that teaches me that Shema is unique.
Right.
Shema is the name Hebrew. Whoever wrote the word Behayu, we call him God, said that Shema has to be in Hebrew, other things do not have to be in Hebrew. Right? This box of other can be in any language. God, who wrote the Hayu, is also the one who said that the other things can be in any language, right? Right? Are we clear?
Yeah.
If, as Rashi suggests, other...
Vahayu and Shema are two different things.
No, Vahayu is Shema.
Vahayu
and Rima Eile. These things.
Refer to Shema, not the word Shema.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what he's saying is, the other... These things that are not Shema can be in any language. So if you're going to tell me that other is Kriyas HaTorah, which is what Rashi said, right? As if you tell me that this other is the thing that can be done in any language,
so who said that the other is Kriyas HaTorah?
Rashi.
No, he said the Bechol Lashon Ne'emar Likros Bechol Lashon.
Likros, which Tosfos says explicitly. In source you valid is Pirish Rashi.
The Lashon HaKodesh Nemra, Pirish Rashi, Pirish Nemra, Likros Batorah.
Likros Batorah. And Tosfos says, I don't agree. But Rashi, as Tosfos understands him, is saying that Likros Batorah, Kriyas HaTorah, is here. That must mean it's a Deoraisa.
Okay.
How does Hashem tell you that Shema is not like Kriyas HaTorah unless there is such a thing as Kriyas HaTorah?
Right.
I mean, are we...
Yeah,
and Joseph says that can't be, because Kriyas HaTorah is Ezra. It didn't exist at this point. He's saying it's not Moshe. He's saying Kriyas HaTorah is not Moshe. That's what Joseph is saying. Kriyas HaTorah is Ezra. Then what is the other that's in the box? all these other mitzvot that involve reading psukim. Parsha Zachor, Chalitza, Egla Rufa, whatever. Yeah.
It doesn't seem to fit, like as you said, that it wasn't an accident. So why would Hashem make like a Doraita that never like Moshe Mitzvah, but he didn't like directly tell Moshe to give it over then?
Well, that would have bothered me.
Punishing the mitzvah.
Right, unless you're going
to. Well, that's working
No, but if Moshe did create it, then it's not hidden. In other words, they all know about it.
But they didn't seem to follow it then.
How do you know?
This doesn't seem
we don't know anything about what they're doing in the Midbar. We get awfully little information. Yeah.
Do we have to assume that Moshe obeyed the people of the Raisa? I mean, this isn't discussed with the Raisa.
Right. It's a good question, and it's actually a piece in its own right. Yeah, you have to look at the language of the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos in his Hakdama in Shorosh Aleph Beis or so, where he talks about Divrei Sofrim and Divrei Kabbalah.
Yeah.
But the assumption right now would be that if Moshe created it, then yes, it's a Deoraisa.
Right.
So Tosfos says Ezra did it. In his mind, it is a Derabbanan. The Aruch HaShulchan in Source Tezayin quotes
you. More interested about now whether Chris Torah is Deoraisa or Derabbanan.
Correct. I'm not concerned at all about the language. We're not going to discuss language at all. Correct. So, in Source Tezayin, the Aruch HaShulchan says, Kasav HaRambam, Perek Yud Beis Mitfila, Moshe Rabbeinu Tzikei Lohem LeYisrael, Shiu Karin B'Torah B'Rabim B'Shabbos U'B'Sheni B'Chamishi B'Shachris Kedei Shelo Yishu Gimel Yamim, dot. I'm jumping down to the middle of the third line, but you already got the relevant piece. The Rambam says it's Moshe. Kalomar, he says in the middle of the third line, Dialshava Shabbat Tikein Moshe Rabbeinu Malikros, Vahainu Kol Sidra Beshabato Veshiva Keruin. That the lading that we do on Shabbos with seven aliyos is Moshe. That's the Aruch HaShulchan's understanding based on the Rambam. Aval Beis Vehei, but as far as Mani and Thursday, Lo Tikein Kama Keruin Bekama Psukim, Vaidai Bekarayachadu Pasuk Echadu Ba Ezra Vetikein Hamispar. Monday and Thursday, that's Ezra's domain in terms of shaping the way Kriya Sator would look on Monday and Thursday. But the Aruch HaShulchan says Shabbos is Moshe. And not just that you're lading on Shabbos, but that you have seven aliyos as well.
Shabbos is Moshe never Deraisa or just Moshe?
I'm saying Moshe equals Deraisa for our purposes, yeah.
The Meiri also implied that it's really a Deraisa because Moshe started it, they just forgot it, and then.
Correct.
Going back to all the logic, it would seem that, okay, Moshe was talking the idea of. He was to get the tikkun of Kriya Torah on Monday and Thursday, but he didn't like, even talk in the details into it. So the details about it is the Rabbanan. So you would technically complete the rite of learning Torah on every day just by learning Torah, not by attending the.
Well, Moshe's takana is not learning. Moshe's takana is not the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Moshe's takana is a public reading. I will not have fulfilled that no matter how much reading I do on my own. Yeah. So, that tells us that we have a debate about the nature of this mitzvah Kriyas HaTorah. Is this a Deoraisa? Is this a Derabanan? What part of this is Moshe? What part of this is Ezra? Rashi leaves Deoraisa. Tosfos seems to indicate that he thinks it's a Derabanan flat. And I don't know what he does with our sources that link it to Moshe. The Aruch HaShulchan from the Rambam says that it's Moshe / Deoraisa. So, having not really answered the question of is this a Deoraisa Derabanan, let's move to a question that we can answer.
That was only Deoraisa for Shabbos, not Monday.
Correct, Shabbos.
Do we assume Ezra is Derabanan or Divrei Sofrim, which is unclear?
Divrei Sofrim, which we're going to say is Derabanan for our purposes. Even though it's worthy of that same discussion that I mentioned to Josh. Let's move to a question that we can answer, although we're going to answer it with a machlokes. Who is obligated in this mitzvah? When you say that there is a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, who exactly is supposed to be fulfilling this mitzvah? What are your choices?
The Tzibur.
The Tzibur. That's one answer. Adam says the Tzibur. What does that mean when you say there's a mitzvah for the Tzibur?
That everyone has to hear it, or somebody has to do it.
Whoever comes.
I don't know. Let's say the following. Let's say I am a wealthy Baal Tzedakah. I pay for there to be a shul in my city. I hire a Baal Kriya. I hire 10 men Okay, I'm now not discussing women in Kriyas HaTorah at all. I hire 10 men to sit in the shul and hear Kriyas HaTorah. Can I go play golf?
Does it have to be done, or does everyone have to hear it?
Yeah, is it, when we say communal, does it mean every individual? Or does it mean there has to be a Kriyas HaTorah, but I can go do whatever I want to do? How do we look at this? We're going to see three different approaches. The first approach is articulated by Tosfos in Sukkah. If you take a look at Source Yud Zayin, you see the Gemara that he uses as his jumping off point. It's a classic. You've heard about the big shul in Alexandria?
Yeah.
Right, with the flags? So that's what this is about. Source Yud Zayin. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishal Orah Diu Plus Ston Shal Alexandaria Shal Mitzrayim L'Orah V'Chvodon Shal Yisrael. He says, if you never saw that humongous shul in Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim, you never saw the honor of all Israel. Duplustun obviously is a Greek word, two somethings. I don't know what plustun is a reference to, but du is due, is two. So it was a double something. Yeah, what does he say?
I don't remember. I was looking at it yesterday.
Okay. It's the double something. The of Alexandria didn't never saw the honor of Israel. Amru, they said, Kamin Basiliki Gedola Haisa. It was like a big basilica. A basilica is a large ritual space. Originally, they came to later mean church stuff, but it was basically a large open area. So Stiv Lifnimbi Stiv, which you may remember from Sachin, right? We talked about Harabayas and layer upon layer. So this was, and it helped, I'm showing you Baki Flam Kyotzi Mitzrayim, sometimes it held double the number of left Mitzrayim, or if you have the version in the brackets, that it had Shishim Rebo, that it had 600,000 Kyotzi Mitzrayim, and some say double that. The addition for the doesn't matter for our purposes. 71 thrones, parallel to the 71 judges on the Sanhedrin. Each of them was humongous and had a lot of gold. Ubima shall eat bam sa'isa, and here we go. V'chazan ha'knesses omed alea v'asudarin biyado. You have this bima of wood in the middle, and the chazan would stand in it. The chazan is not the person leading the davening, that's the shliach tzibur. The chazan is the president. He's the person who is responsible for making things go. And he has scarves in his hands. V'kevin shi'igia la'anos amen. And when the time came for everybody to say amen, ha'la menif b'sudar, v'chol ha'amonim amen. He would wave the scarf, and everybody would respond, Amen. Which means, no one has heard the bracha. Right? That's how they know to say Amen. So Tosfos, Source Yud Ches.
Does that mean no one, or that means people?
No, not no one, I'm sorry. Right. The people who are going with the scarves. Right. So Tosfos says, became a lot of Amen, made it basud of a cholam on an Amen, that you wave the scarves, and then everybody knew to answer Amen. You can insert your joke here about your favorite shul that needs this system. Okay? So he says, in the Aruch, he asks a question from Rabbeinu Nissim, or Rabbeinu Nissim asks this question. Had the Amar Bereish Gemara Dishlosha Sha'achlu Ein Onin Amen Yisoma. Right? We have a Gemara in Brachos which says you're not allowed to answer an Amen Yisoma, which we are assuming right now means an Amen which is separate from the Bracha. You didn't hear the Bracha, you're just saying Amen in a vacuum. So you're not supposed to do that. So Rabbeinu Nissim asks a question. V'ha'achal Shamu HaBracha. They didn't hear the Bracha here. The scarves are waved, and they know, oh, time to say Amen, but hey, not an Amen Yisoma. And they're saying an Amen Yisoma. Umefaresh b'shem rabbanan d'vnei ma'aravas. He explained in the name of the Israeli sages, Sha'amishu chayav bracha ka'amar, that the requirement that you hear the bracha is specifically where you are obligated in that bracha. It's your bracha, really. Ubaniyaso Amen wrote to others, Yidei Chavaso. And by saying Amen, you want to fulfill your obligation. So someone's making Kiddush for you, right? And you want to fulfill your obligation for Kiddush, so therefore, you're going to respond Amen to their bracha. So there we say, Tzarech Sheyishma, you have to hear Kiddush. V'yachach Yana Amen. And then say Amen. V'lo Yana Amen Yisoma. And you can't say an Amen Yisoma. So I can't say, you know, I walk into the Shul Kiddush. Right? And there's so much noise that I can't hear the rabbi making Kiddush. But at one point, everybody says, Amen. So I say, oh, great, Amen. That doesn't work. Because that's not my bracha, because I didn't hear the actual bracha. V'hada onin amein ba'anacha sudarin, whereas, and here's the key point for us, the fact that they can answer amein when the scarves wave, hainu b'kriyas sefer Torah, v'lo b'tfila, that only works for kriyas ha-Torah. That doesn't work for davening. And it doesn't work when the chazan is fulfilling the obligation on behalf of the community. In other words, what he's saying is, there's no obligation for me to hear the bracha of the aliyah, because it's not my bracha. Tosfos sounds like he is saying that the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah is not personal. The mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah is, it's communal. There should be a Kriyas HaTorah. And maybe a certain number of people should hear it. But it doesn't have to include me. If I'm in the back of the shul, and I didn't hear the bracha of the ole, that's just fine. You follow? That's Tosfos's position. If you look at the article that I referenced in the beginning, the Fremer article, look at footnotes 103, 106, and 111, and he has a lot more in terms of bringing others who take this point of view that Tosfos takes. I'm just bringing one representative of each point of view. So Tosfos's view is that it is communal. Rav Moshe Feinstein, who was clearly not the first to articulate this view, but it was the simplest and clearest one that I could present, disagrees and says, no, Kriyas HaTorah is an obligation for the individual to listen, not to read. But it's an obligation for the individual to hear Kriyas HaTorah from the correct number of people. But each individual has it. I have to hear it, you have to hear it, all of us have to hear it. It's in Soisky Tess. He says, Hine, Hamagin Avram, Simin Reish Pei Beis, Sivkatan Vav, Simin Reish Pei Beis, remember, is the laws of Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos. So the Magen Avram and the laws of Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, Hevi Miknes HaGedola, Shakatan Eino Yachol Lios Makri. The Magen Avram says, you know what, it's going to I need to take proper time on this Rav Moshe. I don't want to race through the Rav Moshe. So what we'll do is we'll pick up with that next week. We didn't get through like half of what I expected to. All right. It'll take even longer than I expected. Yeah.
Am I getting a problem from earlier this year?
Yeah. The one from the Sakdama to Kuflamid Hay?
Boston. Yeah. How do you read that? It's like, oh, what's he saying?
Hang on. Right. So he's quoting the Riff.
Yeah.
The Riff had said that Ezra set up Mondays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
Right. So he says that means that Moshe, that what Ezra did was the number of people, not that there should be a reading. That there should be a reading, Moshe did. And what Ezra did on Mondays and Thursdays was to set up how many people. And therefore, he continues to say, that means that when we say Moshe did Shabbos, Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, Chol HaMoed, that means Moshe did not only that there should be a reading, but also the number of readers.
All Ezra did was the number of readers.
Correct. That's the way that the... Yeah. Okay. So there's a lot more to see here. It's going to get the opening part about Ezra versus Moshe has a little bit of a detour with this discussion about the Mahogas Babli Rishalmi. But from here on out, it's going to end up being much more technical, practical, and less resolving that kind of a Mahogas. So, God willing, we will move ahead with it next Friday. On Monday, I will give...